Turn to Acts chapter number 20. We're going to take a week break from our prophecy, and I'm purposely doing that because I want to bring this message. Since we're having outreach October, this is October the 2nd, I want to kind of kick outreach October off with this message tonight. Are you at Acts 20? Stand with me to your feet, to Acts chapter number 20. I'm going to start reading verse number 18. I'm going to read down a few verses down to verse number 27. I'll cover a little bit of the verses prior, and I've got something on my heart tonight, and it's my desire. I'll start at verse 17 so you'll have context. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, I want to stop there for a moment so I can teach the church something. There's no such thing as an elder board in the church. Now, what he did, he called the elders of all the churches that were planted there. There's some churches do this, and they're wrong, and they're out of, it's not the will of God, and I'm going to prove it's not right. They'll have a deacon board, trustee board, elder board, and then the pastor. That's absolutely wrong, because I'm going to prove to you that's wrong. Now, look at verse 28 so I can prove that real quick. Now, he's speaking to the elders. Look at what he says to them in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock of God, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you what? Overseers. What is an elder? He's an overseer. What's that name over? What word overseer mean? Bishop. Go to 1 Timothy 3. He said, a bishop desireth the office of a bishop. When you desire the office of a bishop, you're desiring the office of an elder also, but that's not all. Now notice this. Are y'all with me? You're going to learn something. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and all to the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to what? Feed, shepherd, pastor, the church of God. Now, doesn't that make real good sense? As pastor, I feed you. As bishop, I oversee you. As elder, I counsel you and there to take care of you in your time of problems. All one office, and it's unscriptural to have multitude of offices, and I don't believe in it. But I thought I'd throw that out. That's good teaching. You need taught. Amen. Now notice this, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility in mind, and with all tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stop right there. Our Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Help me to preach like I've never preached before. Help me to preach this message of responsibility to every one of the believers in the building tonight. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this subject. The heart of a soul winner. The heart of a soul winner. You say, well, that thing ain't for me, preacher. Well, the Bible said we're all ambassadors. Amen. Now, you say, well, I ain't got time to be there on Thursday or Monday or Sunday. That don't exempt you to being a soul winner. Amen. You meet people every day. Somebody help me preach right there. When I got saved, there's a man came into my life. His name was Herman Haynes. He was called the weeping prophet. Herman discipled me. He asked me to come soul winning with him. And I was scared to death, Lois. I was petrified. And I won't be honest with you. I did exactly what some of y'all done. I went to Herman Haynes and I said to him, don't make me talk. He said, I wouldn't embarrass you. So he took me with him. I went with him for 3 months, didn't say a word. And then he said to me, he said, it's about your turn. I said, my turn to what? He said, talk. He said, there's a family up there. And he said, I don't usually send people by themselves, but I'm going to send you because I can't be with you and there ain't nobody else going but me and you. And would you go visit them? He said, it's a wife, husband, wife, and 4 children. And he said, I want to tell you something before you go. They're probably the poorest people you ever met in your life. Man, I thought, now I don't have no money at that time, but I'll tell you what I've done. I went over to Smith's Grocery there in Big Chimney, got me 2 bags of groceries, got me every candy bar I could, donuts, and I went to the door and had 2 bags of groceries. I said, I'm John Smith, I'm from Prince Baptist Church, and Herman Haynes, the pastor, was coming with me, but he can't come, and I'm here tonight to come and bring you some food. And their eyes got about that big around. And since I'm here, could I tell you about Jesus? So I went in. Here's what I done. I set them all down. I started with Daddy, led him to Jesus. Started to Mommy, led him to Jesus. Then I led all 4 of the kids to Jesus. My first time out, I had 6 saved. You said, did you know the Romans wrote? Did not have a clue. Did you know the John's Road? Didn't have a clue. The only thing I knew was that I was a sinner, and I quoted John 3:16 and explained that verse to him, what it meant to me, and led the whole bunch to Jesus. Amen. I got a heart for it. Amen. And by the way, I want to preach about the heart of a soul winner. By the way, the greatest soul winner of all times was Jesus Christ. He won Nicodemus to the Lord. He won the woman at the well the Lord. And she got so excited and so saved, she left her water pot and went and started a revival in the city. And the whole city got right with God. And then the second greatest soul winner in the Bible was Paul. Now here's Paul. If you want to write down notes and to kind of get context, Paul in Acts 20 is on his last lap of his 3rd missionary journey. Now, I'm just going to tell you briefly, he made 2 big stops that I want to talk about. First of all, in verses 6 and on up to verse 17, he made a stop in Troas. What he had done, now I want to bring this out, what he had done, he had left Philippi. Now, normally, the boat trip from Philippi to Troas is 2 days. But if y'all read the context, took him 5. So what that told me, he had some trouble sailing. You know, we ought not to ever let any burden or trouble or anything stand in the way of us reaching somebody with Jesus. And if you think you're not going to have adversity and opposition about going out and trying to reach people with the gospel of Christ, you are wrong. And I believe he gave us an example there. It took him a little longer because the devil knew he was going to. He's on the last lap of his 3rd missionary journey, and the devil wanted to stop him. Somebody help me preach. Now, I won't cover this, but this is an amazing story. Why was that Troas? Now, read the context. I'll just tell you the story. He was there 7 days. He met with them, encouraged them. Then he had a Bible preaching time. And the Bible said he was in this place and preaching the gospel. Now, some of y'all are going to die on this. And he preached till midnight. I wonder what happened tonight if I just turned her loose and said, we're going to midnight. Maybe some of you flocking out that door about us. But when 8:15 came, you'd go get a kid even if you didn't have one. He preached at midnight. There's an old boy up there named Eutychus up there in the window, up there next to the lights, talked about the lights. I can just imagine the boy. The lights come on, and Paul's preaching, and he's up in the window, and he's starting to fall asleep, fell dead asleep, and fell out the window and killed himself. And Paul went down, got him in his arms, and he said there's still life in him. And God brought him back from the dead. Somebody help me preach. You said, did that really happen? Oh, yes, that happened on the third missionary trip. Can I tell you some of the most exciting, wonderful things can happen when you're out there trying to tell somebody about Jesus? Somebody say amen. Now we take us down to our context, and I want to talk about the heart. And I want you to follow me in verses 17 on down through verse 21, I'm just going to give you three things tonight and see if I can help you. Look at verse number 18. Number one, I want you to notice the attitude of a soul winner. Soul winners, people that want to get people saved, are different than anybody else because of their attitude. Three things I want you to notice. First of all, look at verse number 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know not from the first day that I came to you, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons. You know what Paul was saying to them? Number one attitude, you've got to have an attitude of dependability. Hello. You know, we're living in a culture and an age, that word right there doesn't mean much today because a lot of people are not very dependable. Somebody help me preach. They're not dependable in their attendance. They're not dependable in their soul winning and their giving. Here, we're living in a culture of recklessness. My Bible said, moreover, it is required of a steward to be faithful. Amen. I want to give you a scripture. I read in Proverbs. I read Proverbs I read it all the time. Proverbs 25:19 says this. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. There ain't nothing like being able to depend on somebody. Because if you're not dependable, you know what you are? You're just like a broken tooth. How many's ever had one of them? Raise your hand. I had one about 8 months ago, and I want you to know it went in there, exposed that nerve. I ain't never had nothing hurt me so bad in my life. I was screaming for a dentist, and I was wanting one so bad. I mean, but that's what an unfaithful person is. You know, a lot of people want to put on a show in church. They want to be in the big positions. You know, they want to be the big teacher. They want to teach this, and they want to be up there. Ain't nothing wrong with teaching. As long as you don't care to do the other work too. Somebody say amen. But I don't like somebody wanting to preach the gospel, then won't go soul winning. Wanting to preach the gospel, then won't tithe. Want to preach the gospel, then don't want to do right. Somebody help me preach. You know what they're like? Look at me. They're like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, I ain't never had one clear out of joint before. But tell you what happened Saturday. I was preaching up Mount Pleasant, and I sprung my foot. When I come here Sunday, I was hurting all day. I sprung it. I mean, I guess I lifted the ligaments off my foot. On the top of my foot, I want y'all to know it hurt. And if you're an unfaithful person, you're like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Somebody help me preach. Hey, by the way, you don't have to be smart to be dependable. You don't have to have a doctor's degree to be dependable. Amen. You don't have to be brilliant to be dependable. You just be dependable. Amen. Then secondly, look at verse 19. He had an attitude of humility. A soul winner, you can count on to be dependable, and you can count on to have an attitude of humility. Look what it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. A attitude and awareness. What is humility? An awareness that you're unworthy. I want all y'all to know something. I ain't nothing but an old sinner saved by the grace of God. Raise your hand at me. That's what you are too. I tell you, I want to give y'all a little something. This thing about soul winning isn't really about nickels and noses. It isn't about how many did you get today. It ain't about how many, you got on your belt. If that's your attitude, you're not doing it in humility.
That's right,
what it is, you're doing it to get somebody saved. I've won people to Christ. I don't know how many I've won, and don't even care how many I've won, because I know one day I'll find out. Somebody help me preach right there. I want you to know something. If we could just do it with humility, but that's not the only thing he did it with, Kim. He done it with sincerity. Look at verse 19. Hey, you want to reach people? Look what it said. Come on now, serving the Lord in all humility of mind, in many and with many what? Say it.
Tears.
Now listen to this little quote. When your heart is touched, you will touch the heart of somebody else. I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, early on in this ministry, this man's dead now. His teenage daughter, who's now up near 60, 55, 58, something like that, asked me to come and talk to her dad about Christ. The mom said she wanted me to do it. And then they had a mentally challenged child. And they asked me to come. And I went. And I want y'all to know, I took him through the Romans Road. I gave him the whole deal. And I got to be honest with you, it didn't get nowhere. It didn't. You said, what do you do when you have that experience? I tell you what I do. I bounce the ball. I bounce the ball, and I start thinking, what can reach this guy? Bounce the ball. And I did this. I brought his daughter over there and his wife and that mentally challenged boy. I said, what do you think of your daughter or your daddy, honey, the teenager? I love my daddy and I don't want him to go to hell. And tears come streaming down her face. The wife said, honey, I've not always been a great wife, but I want you to know I love you. And tears was running down her face. And here's what got me. The little mentally challenged boy, who knew about heaven and knew what it was to go to heaven, looked at him and he couldn't talk real plain. And he said, but dad, and stuttered around and said, daddy, I want you to go to hell. I want you to be saved. I love you. And big tears running down his face. And that big old sprawl of man looked at me. He said, do you mind going over that one more time? And I led him to Christ, not because of me, but because somebody shed a tear for him. And he saw the sincerity of his family, and he got saved by the grace of God. I tell you what people want. They want people that are humble, sincere. You know what? You go out in this community and tell somebody about Jesus. If you go out there humble and not proud and not going out there trying to debate somebody, you ain't not going out there to debate a Catholic or a Muslim or anything else. You just go out and witness to them. If they are what they are, they don't want to hear you, just be polite and leave. Because you might get a chance, a second chance. Hello, good preacher. Number two, are y'all still with me? I'm almost good. Lord, I like it. Not only, what have I said so far, Chad? The attitude of a soul winner. I want you to notice next the approach of the soul winner. How do we approach them? How did Paul approach them? Now notice what he said in the scripture. Look at verse 20. How many's at verse 20? Say amen. And how I kept back nothing. He had personal conviction. I gave it all. I gave it all. Look at verse number 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The word shun means to set your sails, to catch the wind that is blowing. Paul said, I haven't shunned to do it. Paul said, I didn't set my sails to catch the popular breeze. He said, I still, how many of y'all believe people are going to die and go to hell? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that hell's real? Raise your hand. How many of y'all believe people are lost? Raise your hand. And until you get a personal conviction about those things, you'll never be a soul winner. And I want to tell you, we got this push, last push on Sunday. What are you going to do from now to Sunday? Are you just going to sit back and say, that's for the preacher? There's been people brought during this campaign. And ladies and gentlemen, we've had folks saved 3 weeks in a row. I just asked you to ask one of your friends. Ask somebody you know. Hey, how many's got somebody, a buddy, a friend, a neighbor you know's going to hell? Raise your hand if you know they're going to hell. Yes, you do. And if you have enough personal conviction about it, you'll call them before the Sunday. And you'll try your best to get them out of here. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. Not only that, let me show you a second thing. Look at verse 20. Not only do I see, I see, first of all, a personal conviction. Second, in verse 20, I see a public instruction. Notice this. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable on you, but showed you and have taught you publicly. I showed you and taught you publicly. Paul preached the word publicly. He taught the word publicly. Listen to this. There was a young pastor that went to the great Spurgeon. How many's heard of Charles Spurgeon? He went to Spurgeon and he said, Dr. Spurgeon, I've been preaching the last few months and there's been a lot of time nobody got saved. You know what Spurgeon said to him? He said, you really didn't expect somebody to get saved every time you preached, did you? And the guy said this, no, I didn't. And Spurgeon said, and that's why you didn't get them. Every Sunday I come behind this pulpit, I am zeroed in publicly to preach the gospel. And when somebody doesn't come, I am disappointed. And I get on my knees and I pray, God, 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 save somebody.
Amen.
I'll tell you what's just happened since Monday. One was saved in my revival first night. The same day the ladies went out, had one saved. The next night, Josh and the group that went to the Fuel Bible Club in Marshall University, and Christian's daughter gets them out there, brought one of her friends. That young lady got saved right at Marshall University. You said, what's happening? What's happening is we got a heart for it. We're publicly doing it. We're displaying it. Well, somebody help me. Now notice, I'm not done. Notice the rest of the verse. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable on you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. And listen, and from house to house as private presentation. Now, you want to know what separates Tate Valley Baptist Church from the rest of the church in this area? I'm going to tell you so you'll know. We go house to house. Cold, C-O-L-D, turkey. Now, there's some churches will visit somebody to follow them up. But we go C-O-L-D, cold turkey. And we just go to every house. And we have went to every house multiple times. And we'll keep going to every house. And privately give them the word of God. House to house. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I believe. And I'm going to tell you this. You want to know why God's blessed this place in such a magnificent way? You say, do you have somebody saved every week? We have some, but we don't have somebody every week. But here's what I want to tell you I know. Because of the faithfulness of our soul winners, God sends people into this church. And we're getting people saved. Somebody help me preach. You know what? He always blesses your efforts. Somebody help me preach. You say, you don't mean you go house to house? Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you're a lady and you don't work on Monday, just go house to house with you. You know, you said, I'm afraid of dogs. We got dog biscuits to give the dogs. Everything will be fine. It's not that frightening. You talk to people every day, and you don't have no problem. Lastly, I'm done. Look at verse 21, I'm done. The appeal of the soul winner. Here's what the soul winner is appealing. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. I want to tell you another good thing about Taylor Valley Baptist Church. We have not let ourselves get so high and mighty that we just want to reach the affluent. Rich and poor, red and yellow and black and white, they're all precious in His sight. I want to tell you something. I'm not this kind of guy that says, well, I don't want them if they can't get big money in the church. I want them whether they can give a dime to the church. If they'll get a job and get saved, they'll give something. Somebody help me preach. See, I want you to know something. If we could, we just need to appeal to everybody. You know what's catching on? I want you to know something. I done a seminar at one of the pastor fellowships the other day, and they're all wanting to know about our highways and hedges now. We went and told them. Guess what else they want to know? See, I've sent out through our teaching 25 preachers in the last 2 years. They're out somewhere preaching the gospel and ministering. Guess what? They want me to come and present my internship program to them too, because they want to know. You know what's happening is the word's getting out. People getting saved every week here. It's not presto. It's not by accident. It's because we are diligently, diligently trying. Now here's the appeal. I'm done. Testify both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God. By the way, I still preach that. We ought to preach to everyone, ought to turn from their sin. Also, I want to give a good quote to you. Repentance is the sharp needle that pierces the hole of the heart, letting the thread of the gospel get in. When that person comes to repentance and a broken spirit, what happens? That heart is pierced, and the thread of the gospel is able to get in. Boom, glory. Somebody help me. And he said, preach it not only to turn from sin, but faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to show you something. You can't have faith without repentance. Notice, and you can't have repentance without faith. Amen. See, when you trust God, you're turning from your sin and trusting Him. You're repenting and placing faith in Him. That's the appeal. Now, I want you to bow your head. I want to ask a question, and I don't want you to be intimidated by this. How many of you have never personally ever led anybody to Christ? Raise your hand. If you've never done it personally, slip your hand up. Okay. How many right now would like to win some of your friends or influence somebody to get saved? Raise your hand. How many at least try? Stand with me. If you know somebody lost or backslidden, will you come around this altar and pray for them tonight? And will you just do this for me? Between now and Sunday, ask them to come to church. And pray for them tonight. Pray for the person you're going to ask. Pray for the person you're going to ask. Just come around here. I want a burden for soul. I'm going to ask somebody. I want somebody to be saved. I know somebody in my life. I want them impacted. And if you don't, can't make it up here, pray in your seat. It's okay. I'm going to make an effort, preacher. It's all about souls. Father, right now, everyone in this room, I pray will desire to be a soul winner. God, that we on this Outreach October will go out and tell everybody we can. Yes. And Lord, start tonight. I beg you to put in the heart of everybody present to call some friend or neighbor or associate or family member and ask them to come. And Lord, I believe they'll do it if they believe they're going to hell. If they really know and have conviction there's a hell, they'll call their friend. If they really know their friend's lost, they'll call them. God, give us conviction about people's state and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.